If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Had done his job from the beginning, all the people would still be alive. All the people, I'm not making this up, just look at the data. Look at the data. And then we're now being told there's going to be no, I pray to God there's a vaccine tomorrow that could be available to everyone. First of all, once a vaccine is made available, and you know this well, once it's made available, it's going to be.
Well, we're going to, yeah, we'll find that at some point. Rachel will run it down.
All the people would have died.
The biggest soundbite of the night, which is the only reason people started even paying attention to that.
That was literally it.
And I didn't realize that Trump killed everyone with his actual hands.
His job.
Aren't you guys so glad it's Friday?
Done his job from the beginning. All the people would still be alive.
Everyone would have been alive. Do you know if Donald Trump had just like gone over to communist China to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and if he would have increased the quality of their protocol, and if he would have himself single-handedly dealt with all of this, no one in the history of America would have died, especially from the Wu flu. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. It's Friday. I know. We made it, guys. We made it. And we're going to open up phone lines. 844-344-DANA. It's open line Friday. Woo! So we're opening phone lines. And we have, actually, he's going to be joining us here. DHS Acting Secretary Ken Cuccinelli is going to be joining us in a little bit. A lot of stuff happening with China right now, including the moves from the administration this morning on shutting down TikTok and other communist Chinese-run apps. Now, I woke up, and also, make sure you check out danalash.com. Sign up for the newsletter. I'll have something coming out for you tonight.
Oh, we have the new recorded thing. If you
want. Oh, wait a minute. Play this. Guys, it happened.
Find Dana at DLash on Twitter and Instagram. Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube. Official Dana Lash on Facebook. And simulcast via the First, Channel 244 on Pluto TV.
I didn't think I could become best friends with an audio bit, but I just did. I just did. So make sure you, yeah, I know. It's amazing. I like that. And you do sound like you come straight from the 50s. Well done. So folks, again, it's good to be with you this Friday. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. And like I said, we got a lot of stuff coming up. Follow me everywhere, all across the country, Channel 244 Pluto TV via the First. Yeah, I know. I'm so used to saying it now. I'm going to play that. We're going to play that to the point where you guys don't want me to play it anymore. I woke up this morning and I was looking at what was trending. I have a sidebar about online learning because we just shifted to that. My kid's school just shifted to online learning today. So it's a little bit, you know. So I have a sidebar story about that. But woke up this morning and you know how like it is? You're like brushing your teeth in the morning. You're just like waiting for everything to get going. You're waiting for that coffee machine to heat up and everything else. And I was kind of like looking at what was trending, and I noticed VPN was trending, and all the progressives were saying, oh, all the boomers are about to find out what VPN is, and that's, you know, it doesn't matter what Trump bans, it doesn't matter what he bans, because the kids are going to figure out a way to get around it and all this stuff, and that's, VPN is virtual private network. That's what that means, by the way. And that's how they protect their identities, et cetera, et cetera. Long story short, basically, the left was making fun of Trump by saying that the teenagers are going to find a way around this. So my teenagers wouldn't want to find a way around this because they don't like communist China. And they don't like the fact that everything's shut down and their lives have been irrevocably changed because of communist China. Communist. So that sucks if parents out there are teaching their kids to be sheep and actually protest to use an app owned by the communist ideology that unleashed the plague on the world. You're dumb parents. Seriously, this is why the aliens lock their doors when they fly past Earth, is because stuff like this. I was just reading this and I'm watching people beclown themselves. That's what it was. You're using communist technology.
Is it weird that people want to find a way around this just so they can give their personal information to a communist entity?
They're so mad. I hate Trump so bad. I'm totally going to let communist China face mat me. I hate Trump so bad. I'm so going to let communist China get all my information. I mean, you know, some of us don't use it just because some of us don't spend our lives. I mean, you got to work. You grow up and you work. I'm sorry if you're, 40 years old and you are, so sad and you're just like, I bet I have to have the TikTok. Okay, good for you. You got something positive in your life. I don't know. None of the kids I know, because they're educated, are actually mad and protesting to use a communist-owned app. And that's what it is. You can sit here and say it's not, but that's exactly what it is. It's a communist-owned app. And my kids are like, I'm not going to use that trash. I'm not going to use that garb. Do I look like someone who sits here and does dances with my sandwich for snaps for people on the internet? No. They make good points. They really do. You think I'm anti-authority? Wait until you see my offspring. I've unleashed a new reality on the world. Just saying. So, sidebar to this. I ordered MAGA hats officially from the campaign. Like the actual Trump campaign. I went to the store. They got funny stuff up there, by the way. And I'm so doing the wrapping paper for Christmas. And that's what I'm going to use for my little neighbor gifts. Because one of them is a Democrat. So I ordered some of the hats, right? And I was like, oh, I'm going to order some hats because my youngest has been wanting a hat. He won't come out and say it, but he's like, I like those hats. He says stuff like that. And that's him going, get me one. Can I have a hat? My kids don't ask for anything. And they shun brand names. They hate stuff with logos on it. They hate it. And my oldest has always been like, if I'm going to wear a logo, where's my fee for advertising for them? And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Thank you, God, for giving me a capitalist. And I just need to say a little prayer. They are Alex P. Keaton on steroids, my kids. I mean, I'm not kidding. And so they just today, and we got the notification last night that the school was shifting to online learning for my youngest. And we're like, okay, let's make sure we have all our frillion links to all the Zoom class. And I hate using Zoom. I'm going to say it now. And I have been trying, can we not use communist Chinese software to do our schooling because of the communist Chinese virus that shut us down? And I know I'm not the only parent saying this. So I'm like, they have to wear their school uniforms. My kids, we homeschool them and they go to a Christian school. And I'm proud that they go to a Christian school. And so they have to wear their uniforms. And I'm like, you're not going to TV mullet it. You're not going to do what mom does when she does stuff with Fox or CNN. It's not going to be like pajama pants waist down and then totally profesh waist up. So anyway, back to the hat to tie this together. My youngest has been like, I really want this hat. I want this Trump hat. So he wants a MAGA hat. And I go, why do you want a MAGA hat? And he's like, because I'm totally a MAGA. And I go, okay, you're totally MAGA. All right. So ordered a MAGA hat. Now they can't wear hats at school. His plan was, because it literally just arrived, his plan was to wear the hat upon entry to school, make sure everybody in the car line sees him. And he says he's not an activist. Wear it while he's walking into the school and then wear it upon leaving the school because you can't wear it during school hours. And he's like, technically it's not school hours until the second the bell rings. I'm like, okay. Well, then now they moved to online learning. So my kid shows up and is online learning because one of my friends texted me and was just she was in hysterics. She thought it was so funny. And he's wearing his MAGA hat in the Zoom link. Now, don't they look big normally? Those hats look big even on Trump, right?
Yeah.
And that's even if you adjust them. They look large on Trump. And I've met him. He's not a small man. And so my youngest is wearing this hat and he has to have his headphones on. And he's wearing his hat and it legit goes over his headphones. The hat does. And it just looks hysterical. And he's wearing that hat as totally serious as he can be. He's a total academic. He's completely serious. He's doing his work and he's wearing the hat. And my friend was taking pictures of the screen because it was so funny. And every now and then he would pipe up with an answer in the class, but he just has that hat on. And he likes his hat. And he still has it. So I walked by him on my long way to work down the hallway. And he still had it on. It was just hysterical. It's funny. But I like that. And I like that he's completely unafraid. Like I said, you think that I'm anti-authority. My kids are so ridiculously anti-authority. Can you imagine what our house is like sometimes? My oldest son is like, it's like a mountain meets an immovable force. That's what it's like. But I'm happy that you're not gonna gaslight these kids into anything. And the funny thing is that their friends are like that. So when they see the story with the VPN and TikTok and all this stuff, you know, and I had said something about it to my oldest. I was texting with him, he's at college. And he goes, who's stupid enough to protest for this communist crap? That's what he texted me. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, just amazing. It's amazing to have a freedom-loving capitalist. I just love it. I love Gen Z. Gen X raising Gen Z, saving the world. That's what it is. 844-344-DANA. So we're going to online learning. I've homeschooled before, so it's not a real big deal to me. And my kids are self-starters because they had to be, because I was juggling work and juggling educating one kid and then doing the other kid, handling him with his different grade and his different stuff. So they're kind of, you know, they're used to it. So it's not that big of a deal. Having to be in the full uniform is a little bit different. But I keep hearing these stories of like these schools that are closing. One of my friends, their kid's school in Colorado closed and they're back home now. And then I keep hearing one by one these courses that are switching to online courses while the kids are in college. Now, this is happening simultaneously as, just like, for instance, in Texas, Abbott, although I'm not, you know, totally elated about the bars still being closed. Not that I'm going to go and like be a bar fly and sit there and drink whiskey sours at the end like Norm from Cheers all day. But, you know, it's nice for people to be able to work, right, and be able to have jobs. And they provide a lot of jobs. And it's weird because now us and a lot of other people are opening to a certain percentage capacity. But it's just interesting to me that a lot of the schools, and I realize like if they get like what, five or more cases or something like that, then they got to close down or something to that effect. But it is really aggravating these college kids, particularly leading up to an election. And for the people who are politicizing this, I don't really think you realize the Frankenstein's monster you're creating here. You are creating kids who are, at least every kid I know, maybe my kids hang out with the smart ones like your kids, I don't know. But they're all like, yeah, this is all communist China's fault. This is communism. This is what this is. This is what happens. And then this is what happens when you have government overreach as a response. So I don't know if they've actually fully thought that out. But I did notice that when I saw the VPN stuff trending, like I said, with TikTok, I noticed it was a bunch of like the older Gen Xers who have no lives that were trending it. Those are the ones that like pop up and lie about their age when they're online playing games. Yeah, I'm totally a 22-year-old female. In the meantime, it's like a 53-year-old like broad who's sitting at home picking at her toes. I don't know. So we following all of that and the town hall that was last night, like I said, I watched some of this town hall and I'm not gonna lie, I totally was not paying attention to it until someone texted me, everyone would have died. A friend of mine texted me, everyone would have died. And I'm like, what? Like, did we have a conversation? And I wasn't. And my friend does this from time to time. Like, we'll just text me random things that she's thinking. Like, we're in a long, you know, conversation with each other this entire time. And it was what Biden had said. And there was at one point, too, where he went at Trump saying that he's waiting for him to denounce these militias. We're going to talk about that coming up. We're also going to get into all the Rona stuff. We have Ken Cuccinelli, DHS Acting Deputy Secretary, is going to be joining us. Got a lot of stuff to ask him. And we have Mailbag of Hate later on. And now the orchestra, the symphony is now fighting. We have that for you as well, because the woke are everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beet Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Catch the latest Dana podcasts, videos, and blog posts at the all-new danaradio.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
This is a really, really bizarre story, and it's just now kind of bubbling up to the surface. And it involves Ilhan Omar, a campaign staffer, 17 years old, for her Republican congressional opponent, was shot and killed in Minneapolis. Andre Conley was shot outside of a Minneapolis convenience store Monday afternoon. Another person was seriously wounded. Both victims were members of Republican Lacey Johnson's outreach team. Johnson, who's a businessman, is running to unseat Ilhan Omar. Now, police arrested one suspect in connection, and so far nobody's really been discussing any kind of a motive. And as you can imagine, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories that are kind of flying around about this. So this is one that we'll keep an eye on. Very interesting. A Black Lives Matter mural was vandalized by a burnout. And this is the one on, it's not vandalized by a burnout. You paint something in the middle of the road, it's going to get tire tracks on it. This is Springfield, Massachusetts. Do people understand how tires and roads work? If you put things where the cars are going to go over them. Gee, Christmas, stop it. I'm just so done. City of Linwood votes to place city manager Jose, and I cannot say his last name because there's a lot of vowels in here, and more T's and O's and E's than anyone else should be able to have. If you don't have any in your name, it's because he took them all. He's on administrative leave after he posted on Instagram, "Chickens come home to roost," in response to the ambush of the 2 LA deputies. We got a lot more. Ken Cuccinelli up next. Caltech is a privately owned family company that has been making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms since 1995. They believe in respect for you and myself and our fellow citizens and the right to bear arms and in the love that we all have for our great country. All innovative Caltech firearms are proudly and quality made right here in America. Every Caltech employee, regardless of their role, is encouraged to innovate, to find better ways to make things efficiently with quality in mind. The Caltech commitment to innovation and quality and George Kellgren's dedication to the quality of life for each employee truly sets them apart from any firearms manufacturer I've had the pleasure of knowing. The new affordable P17 pistol from Caltech makes range days a lot less expensive and far more fun. It's lightweight, easy to handle, and features a fiber optic front sight and adjustable rear. Affordable at an MSRP of only $199, the P17 gives you a lot more bang for the buck. Check them out at KeltechWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
A president who stands out there when people are peacefully protesting in front of the White House. No violence whatsoever. He gets the military to go in, put tear gas, move people, physically move them out of the way so he can walk across to a Protestant church and hold a Bible upside down. I wonder if you ever opened it upside down.
Oh, come on now. Good heavens. That was Joe Biden. Not a lot of discussion at all on, you know, China or anything that was sort of rooted in the truth as it relates to the actual violence that's been, and not just from the Marxist group Black Lives Matter and Antifa, but also the, now we had another officer that was ambushed just yesterday. And this is becoming a repeat. This is becoming a pattern. what we've been seeing here, the attack on law enforcement, the all of this is related, and it's all, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do think that there is an organized effort to promote unrest in the United States right ahead of a general election, because the goal is to undermine Americans' faith in our institutions and our ability to believe that we can hold free and fair elections. And then, of course, there's the whole question of communist China's involvement, and we've had the news with TikTok and WeChat and all of that getting shut down on Sunday. So there's a lot going on right now, and that means my next guest has a very, very full plate as it concerns his responsibilities in the administration. Acting Deputy Secretary Ken Cuccinelli with the Department of Homeland Security joins us via the phone. Sir, always good to have you on the show, and thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate you.
No, my pleasure, as always.
Of course. So to say that you've been busy is like the understatement of the year, I think, because now here we're going into the home stretch towards the election. And I know that one of the hot topics, and this is something that we've seen, even while we have the violence and the riots in the streets, we also have Democrats and surrogates, their activists, et cetera, out there saying that it's, you know, they're worried about the integrity of the vote, and we need everyone to vote by mail, and our people are going to be safe voting. You know, what problems are you anticipating, and how are you responding as Americans gear up to vote this November?
Well, first, if I could just, you know, I've been listening to your show here on for a little while, and the comments Joe Biden made, I just have to, there wasn't a single thing about Lafayette Park he said that's right. You know, I just want people to know that for sure, because that involved the Department of Homeland Security. We were responsible for that. But when it comes to the election itself, first of all, it's important for people to understand who's responsible for what. Poll security and physical security, including of ballots, are state and local authorities. What we at the federal level are protecting is on the cyber side. And we have done, and this isn't just us, but we've done a better job in this election cycle than ever before. Now, as more and more people shift from in-person voting to on paper, whether that's absentee or because states use paper ballot trails, which are more auditable, then the risk moves from the online arena to these in-person paper ballot systems. And one of the great insulations we have against interference in our elections is that every state does it differently. As we like to say, if you've seen one state's election system, you've seen one state's election system. So the idea that that any actor could just create a system of fraud and then, you know, deploy it nationwide is fanciful. Let's start with the nation state actors. There is not only no evidence of interference with election systems, as much as you hear about Russia, they're doing all the influence stuff on social media and other things, but so's Iran, so's China. But what they're not doing is what they did in 2016. In 2016, they were trying to get into the infrastructure, and we have such a sentinel system and are so much better off in terms of cooperation with all 50 states, regardless of whether you have Republican or Democrat secretaries of state. They're all tied into what's called CISA in the Department of Homeland Security, a cybersecurity and infrastructure security agency. And that is so much better than 2016. We're in a pretty good place. To the extent, now look, I was a state attorney general. I'm familiar with doing enforcement on fraud. And I'm not here to tell you there won't be any, but to the extent it happens, it's going to be sort of the old traditional localized undertakings are what we would most expect. And the federal government doesn't have a role in policing that. That's state and local officials. But that's partly because at the federal level, across the whole government, we've done a good job of keeping an eye on the foreign adversaries and boxing them out, and frankly, punching back in some instances. So we're in a good place in 2020.
Now, and that's good to hear as well. And I also love the, because you have to hold a firm line on this. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, again, briefly when you were talking about how DHS was involved there as it related to the president going to the church, which I actually thought was great. And everyone that I know that listens to the program across the country thought it was great as well. And they realized what was being done. But it was amazing to me how people were more upset over that than the fact that here you had a violent Marxist mob that had set the same church on fire literally the day before. And people were more upset that Trump visited the church than they were over the fact that we are now here in 2020. People are burning churches if they're not knocking down statues, like the St. Peter's Basilica, knocking down statues at churches. They're setting churches on fire. Let me ask you this, because we've always had unrest, particularly around elections. You know, we had Occupy Wall Street. We've had, you know, even before that, way back in the 60s, you had Weather Underground. Is this an intensification from what we've seen previously in our nation's history?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you talk about Occupy stuff, those were protests in cities that were addressing, you know, like income inequality. Of course, they were against capitalism, which we're seeing again. It's a common theme. Mm. But the breadth of it across the country in what I'll call unorganized, in the sense of there's no overarching organization. This is sort of organically, as best we can see. You know, there's plenty that can be done encrypted that we can't see, all over the country. I mean, if this is in Kenosha and Lancaster and Rochester, you know, that's not New York, Chicago, L.A. That's sort of every town USA. And that's a concern. It's one the president has been very vociferous in, you know, demanding that first priority of government be performed by these local and state governments. And that's public safety, law and order. And you achieve that goal of peace through strength. Peace through strength isn't just when we're facing off with the Soviet Union under Ronald Reagan. It's true in every community. And if you look at Portland, where they refused to use their strength, versus Kenosha, where at first the governor declined the president's urging to bring a National Guard, and the president offered to bring them from other states. And then there was deaths, literally, and more violence, and Governor Evers changed his mind and agreed with the president and cooperated. And what happened? Peace is what happened. Peace was restored to that community. And that's in a situation where something like half the arrests were from people not from the Kenosha area. They were traveling to be violent. And so the president's approach works if leaders in communities will just set aside their petty little partisan politics and do their job of keeping their own community safe. This is a president willing to give them the tools, but he's always going to stay within the boundaries of federal law, federal restrictions. We can't just go police communities. We have restrictions on what we can do, but the president is willing to do everything that's within his authority, and he has, in fact, done it.
Yeah, and to that point, I always felt as though there were some Democrat mayors and governors that were really trying to play a game of chicken with the administration and really bait them into going above and beyond what the scope of their authority, which, you know, again, as you said, it didn't happen, and there's no desire from the administration for that to happen. One of the other things, just to pivot, that it obviously blew up and is trending today is the announcement that TikTok and WeChat, those are going to be, for the lack of a better way to put it, suspended. We're not going to be able to download. I don't have them, but people won't be able to download them. I think it's starting on Sunday. And this comes after the announcement that there's going to be a crackdown of goods that are produced in China's state-sponsored forced labor system, particularly the area where the Uyghurs are in prison, where their forced labor is being used to make goods. And this is something that has all come out within the past week. Tell me a little bit about this. And it is a little odd to me, and we were kind of laughing about it earlier, that there are people actually out there that are upset that they can't use it's a communist Chinese app. And I don't trust that app. I wouldn't trust it with my information. And it's amazing that there are some people so blinded by partisanship that they think that they can trust communist China more so than the administration.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I think that Marxism is trying to make a comeback in this country. So,
yes.
You know, you see that in a good chunk of the unrest, riots, and so forth. People who openly declare themselves Marxists. So, you know, maybe they feel some camaraderie, to pick their words. But in the Xinjiang region of China, which is in the northwest part of the country, it's a fairly sizable region, not kind of sparsely populated. But in that region, the communist Chinese run literal concentration camps holding 1 to 3 million. You mentioned the Uyghur Muslims. There's also Turks in there, and there's others, but the Uyghurs are the biggest population, and we have extensive evidence, as do many other countries and nonprofits, NGOs that have been gathered. Journalists have gathered enormous amounts of information about what amounts to a slave labor system they have out there, and with everything you'd expect to go along with it. Beating, sexual violence, lack of freedom of movement, among other things, one-child policies, et cetera. And this week, Customs Border Protection in the Department of Homeland Security issued what are called WROs, withhold release orders, which blocks imports from these five entities into the United States, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of trade annually. These are just the latest from CBP. We have done all the way back into the last fiscal year, you've seen the Trump administration be the most aggressive administration this century in fighting this forced labor by the communist Chinese. And we're not done yet. These aren't things we turn around in days. These have been months and years-long investigations, and the fruit of them is blocking these companies' access to the U.S. market. And like I said, you can expect this to continue with other companies as well. We earlier in the summer, with the Departments of State, Labor, and Treasury, issued a business advisory publicly advising American and international companies to get out of their business ties to the Xinjiang region because it is so rife with slave labor, which is, of course, illegal. It makes it impossible for American workers to compete. It makes it difficult for American companies to compete. And it's pure inhumanity in the 21st century, hearkening back to some of the worst features of the 20th century, is worthy of our moral outrage and our opposition. And this president has been very aggressive in pushing us forward in this direction.
We're talking with Acting Deputy Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, Ken Cuccinelli. One last quick question for you, Ken, on that topic, because one of the things that always comes up is, you know, and I understand the difference, you know, when you have a national security issue, and it, especially with as it relates to a foreign entity, what do you tell individuals who say, well, the government shouldn't be telling people what apps they can and cannot download, or businesses who they can and cannot do business with? What is the response to that? Because I know that, you know, ideologically, you agree with these individuals in terms of, you know, being a Republican or being a conservative. But what do you tell people who bring that up?
Yeah, and I mean, I'd go even further. I'm kind of on that border between libertarian and conservative. I'm very free market oriented, and I'm very sympathetic to the ideals that inspire those kinds of comments. However, we do know that the communist Chinese government uses every single company that does business here. They maintain legal authority to gather any and all of their information. That's in China law. And right. So TikTok ends up, just among others, people should think about downloading games from China. Once you've done that onto your laptop is owned by the Chinese military and intelligence service. That has national security implications that are relevant to the whole country and really the whole world. So when you have that competition between the national security needs of the country and the individual freedom of individuals, now we're not obviously invading your liberty in the sense of telling you what to do. We are making unavailable TikTok and, you know, soon other things could be added to that list because we are determined to not let the Chinese intelligence service and military have access to such easy easy intelligence information. And you know, everybody listening to your show should know the Chinese probably already have hacked your your credit scores. You know, they've gathered personal information on so many of us. That
facial recognition, the facial mapping.
Yeah, well, that's certainly what they're doing in their own country, and there's nothing to keep them from doing that in other countries. I mean, you talk about, we're starting to get into Big Brother movies.
Oh, yeah. You know? It's turning into that.
That's right. And so when people object to us barring TikTok, and this is the president's decision, there are very good national security reasons to do that.
Exactly. And, unfortunately, we're out of time here, but we're talking Acting Deputy Secretary of Department of Homeland Security Ken Cuccinelli. We could talk about these issues for the rest of the show because there are so many of them. But we'd love to talk with you again. You're welcome back anytime. And
my
we know
pleasure.
There's not going to be any shortage of topics. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Boredom's never a problem. Good to be with you.
Take care.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Dana Show.
All right. So coming up, Black Lives Matter. You know they're working with a pro-communist Chinese group, correct? We have that story as well. They're also trying to cancel another actress after they went after my girl, Gina Carano, yesterday. And we're opening up phone lines, so I appreciate your patience on there. 844-344-DANA. It's open line Friday. There's been a lot happening. Oh, and we got to make fun of that town hall still. There's more town hall fun to ridicule. Stay with us.
It's the Dana Show.
With the new school year quickly approaching, it is important to stay connected to those you care about now more than ever with a company that shares your values. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, can help you support and save. Now through September 12th, switch to Patriot Mobile with promo code DANA to get a free phone or a free month of service. Plus, you can build your own bundles with multi-line discounts, free activation, and a free gift. As always, Patriot Mobile continues to donate to organizations you believe in. When you switch, a portion of every dollar will support Students for Life, a nonprofit group that helps educate teens and young adults on pro-life choices. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/DANA. Use promo code DANA for a free phone or free month of service, free activation, and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/DANA or call 972-PATRIOT. Make the switch today to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile, our plans, your freedom.
Chickens, chicken and chicken and poultry, and all the manure, quite frankly, that is a consequence of chickens. And so it's polluting the Chesapeake Bay. What we found out, we've invested a lot of money. We found out you can pelletize this and take out the methane. So you're in a position where you can use that fertilizer without the damage that was being done before. The same way with horse manure and cow manure. And
can take out the methane from the feces? Is that what they're talking about? Dirty jobs. Somebody call Mike Rowe. Welcome back, folks. Happy Friday. It's good to be with you. 844-344-DANA. Open line Friday. We had to play that for you because that was too good. That was too good. That was from the town hall. DanaLash.com. Sign up for the newsletter. But
find Dana at DLash on Twitter and Instagram. Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube. Official Dana Lash on Facebook. And simulcast via the First, channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Now stay tuned for Days of Our Lives after this tampon commercial. That's where that fits in. We're going to play with these forever now. I like that. Nice, Kane. Was that your Hallmark version?
That was.
Look at that. Yes, now here's a Christmas movie about small town girl, went to the big city, comes back, and rekindles romance with small town boys, now successful business owner.
Like sands through the hourglass.
That's right.
So are DanaLash.com.
Damn it, Stefano!
He was the bad guy all the time.
Always.
Like, you just have to have that guy. If it wasn't that Jennifer Aniston's dad, right. My grandma watched him. Them's was her stories, y'all. Mm-hmm. All right, so welcome back to the show. That was from the town hall yesterday, which was sort of like, yeah, that was, I don't even, I only started watching it after people were on Twitter going, so Trump, he killed everyone? Like, if you would have been president, the Wuhan coronavirus wouldn't have killed anybody?
If the president had done his job, from the beginning, all the people would still be alive.
This is like hearing a preschooler talk. All the people still be alive. That's not how this works, though. I just want to say that that's not really how any of that works. All right, so I have so many awesome sound bites for you. 844-344 Dana. I want to make sure that we get folks on, and I think our phone screener, our epic phone screener, is sort of kind of working, right?
It's working on our end.
It's not. It hates Steve.
For some reason.
And I don't know who we. What do we got, Steve? Michael from Tennessee, who's on the line. Oh, I like that. I like Tennessee. It's a nice state. It's not Texas, but it's awesome. It's my second favorite. One of my second favorite state. Michael, welcome to the show. Happy Friday.
Well, if it weren't for Tennessee, there would be no Texas.
Oh! There you go.
Well played, sir. I'm so glad you finally got your button.
I have been. It's like my birthday already. It's amazing.
So, as a brilliant and beautiful woman once said, I am made of questions.
Oh, yes. What are your questions?
I want to talk to Biden in a town hall like Trump went through. And my questions would be, will you move the embassy from Jerusalem back to Tel Aviv? Will you pull out of the Abraham Accords? Ooh. If the vaccine comes out before the election, will you be the first in line? And, you know, things like that. The things that they've been harping on all this time, yet they don't say anything about it. They just say things to it.
Yeah, no, actually, that's a good point. No, I would agree with you on that. I would like to see him try to answer those questions.
Wouldn't it be swell?
It would be swell. Look at you. It would because be swell. That'd be neat.
A 50s word that he would understand.
No, yeah, yeah. One syllable. It's easy. No, I would love to see him answer or try to answer those questions because that's it. And I think you made a really good point. They speak to something, but they don't really actually. There's never really a solution. Even when he talks about, I have a pandemic plan, he really doesn't. He's talking about things that Trump already did. I mean, if you can't recognize what's already been done, I really can't trust them to come up with anything new to do, you know? But good heavens. Michael, I appreciate you calling in. God bless you, my friend. Have a great weekend as well. I have some more audio. I've got to play a lot of this audio because it's hysterical. The mask situation. I have to play this. Audio soundbite 7. This is where, so he talked, we played audio that from that the day before yesterday. He had a press conference wherein he went back on his position on the mask mandate because 9 days ago he said that he would not have a mask mandate because he didn't think that he could do it. And then the day before yesterday, he said, yeah, the lawyers tell me I can do it. And then he said this last night.
Is that something you would like to see happen in states?
I would like to see the governors enforce mask wearing, period. I can do that on federal property. As president, I will do that. On federal land, I'd have the authority. If you're on federal land, you must wear a mask. In a federal building, you must wear a mask. And we could have a fine for them not doing it.
Really? So I feel, heaven forbid, he won't get elected. But if he does, because I can run forever, right? I ran track and cross country. I'm just going to go maskless and you can come and catch me. How about that? Come get me. Yeah, I'll just run away. I'll run away to Yellowstone.
How is Trump sounding or even looking like the authoritarian when Biden's out there saying stuff like this?
Racist!
How does the media even come up with that? I don't get it.
He's the authoritarian for allowing people to do what they want to do. So authoritarian.
Exercising freedom accurately.
We are against tyrants. We want the guy who says he would use the federal government to make us wear things on our faces. Face diapers ahoy. That's what it is.
They're okay with it.
Yeah, and they're fine. Of course they're fine with it. They're fine.
I don't get it.
Yeah. It's just audio soundbite 5. This was Biden talking about this was the most that we've heard of him, and that he answered like what 3 Republican questions last night. So, but this was also every bit of this is objectionable. All of it.
One's required to have to be transported at 70 degrees below zero. And taking 2 shots. So the idea that there's going to be a vaccine and everything's going to be fine tomorrow is just not rational.
No one ever said that. No one ever said that, oh, well, everything's going to be fine as soon as... That's a straw man argument. Literally, no one has ever said that. No one. In fact, I think that it's been downplayed to the point where the sentiment is vaccines are helpful, but just like things like with chicken pox and other issues, they don't cure you. You're inoculated, but it isn't a cure. These things are still here. So is this virus, and you have to adapt. That is what has been the general response. No one has said, oh yeah, it's going to be fine. Woo. No one has said that. I mean, what is the point of even having him talk if he's just going to like argue with things that nobody said, right? Good grief. And it's if it's not that, it's something else. If it's not this, then it's, I mean, where, oh, audio soundbite 17. Here we go. This is a perfect example.
I look forward to doing that work together, doing with you. It's part of how I was raised. I hope you join me and put the future within our reach where states that, you know, look.
Starting to go off the rail.
Whatever state of life you're in.
What?
You can make a difference.
What? What? Dude, okay, can we please do the NBC The More You Know thing on that? Whatever state of life you're in, you can make a difference. That's it. That's the ad.
Whatever
state of life you're in. Look at that. Such a great pep talk. What the hell was he even talking about? As long as you're here, you're making a difference.
With all due respect, that's a bunch of malarkey.
Malarkey. Good heavens. Audio soundbite 18. I also enjoyed this greatly.
So would you like to say a couple words?
Am I supposed to speak now or is Karen supposed to speak? I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble here.
Yeah, there you go. So meanwhile, I have to share this story with you. Kamala Harris, you know how yesterday we mentioned this, she wore Timberland boots? And everyone was like, oh, she's bringing them back. But when Melania Trump wore them, because she was actually going to look at like flood damage and hurricane damage, everyone got mad at her because she was wearing Timberland boots. And then Kamala Harris wears them brand new. I mean, like the ankle ain't even broken in. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh, Kamala is bringing back Timberland boots. Oh my goodness, look, she's bringing them back. It's so amazing. And then suddenly it was all right to talk about women's fashion again. Although I always think that when you wear boots like that that have giant lug soles, you look like a Clydesdale. You do. Just let your ankle hair grow out over it to complete the look. It just looks like a clop clop clop. I've always thought that. That's why I hate platform shoes. Platform shoes are stupid. You look like a Clydesdale. Stop it. Every female out there, quit wearing them. It's Clydesdale shoes. That's not fashion. That's a horse hoof. And it just is awkward looking. It makes your feet look like so big and you're skinny, your legs skinny and knobby, and it's just not right. Okay, I got that off my chest. I have a very big issue with this. I see platform shoes and I want to set them on fire. I can't help it. I immediately am triggered like that. Nothing gets me madder than, I'm like, no, no. I see them and I just have this reaction. It's visceral. They're ridiculous. Anyway, to that point, who cares what she's wearing? She trespassed on this poor family. Their damn house burns down. All their belongings are gone. Their stuff that isn't smoking is wet and soppy. And here comes Kamala, and they trespassed on these people's private property. so that they could point to pictures of stuff or point to things. And there's all these pictures of them pointing to stuff, like those trees got burned there. And or as Kane said yesterday, here's where water could have helped. That's where it looks so bad. And so she's in trouble now because the family, the Patton family, Trampas Patton said in a Facebook post, he's the son of the couple who own that home. He said, my parents haven't even been back to see their property. They haven't been allowed back. But here you have Gavin Newsom and Kamala Harris, who were allowed to go back and do a photo op there. That was the first time they apparently saw their stuff that burned down.
And then, I'm not the president.
She's not. That's right. So coming up, speaking of Kamala, she wants to renew the assault weapons ban. That's going to go over real well, yeah. Just go ahead and ban semi-automatic firearms while you're defunding the police. That's always gone real well, you know. We have that. Trump takes on critical race theory. I am so glad that he's doing this. We're going to discuss that. And we've got more phone lines. 844-344-DANA. And we're going to get you as well.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So Twitter's ordering politicians and journalists to fortify their passwords before the election. And that comes after the cyber attack where everybody's had their stuff exploited. And they had, you know, everybody from Barack Obama to Bill Gates all had their stuff. Don't have your password, but they have new rules. You have to verify your phone number and do all of this other stuff. And you have to follow them. It's required and blah, 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 blah. They're just trying to make it to where, you know, people who apparently don't like secure their accounts regularly, they're just trying to get it to where they're safe and they're locked down. Oh my gosh, this story. Elgin, Illinois. A bear is discovered scavenging on the remains of a 43-year-old man at a campsite in North Carolina. The man's from Elgin, Illinois. This is in North Carolina, Great Smoky Mountains. Rangers were dispatched to a campsite. And when they arrived, a black bear was, quote, actively scavenging on remains. And sadly, well, I don't know if the bear killed him. They're still investigating the guy's cause of death. But the bear was euthanized because apparently it's very dangerous to associate, obviously, humans with food. But it was scavenging on the remains of this guy. And hikers discovered what happened is they came across this tent and it was unoccupied. And then they found some human remains around, according to Charlotte Observer. And so they immediately contacted law enforcement. And then when rangers rushed to the site, that's when they saw a black bear actively scavenging it. It was on Hazel Creek Trail. And they said that there are wildlife biologists who are experts in human bear conflicts believe that once a bear is scavenged on the remains of humans, they pose a real risk of doing that behavior again. And we never want bears to associate people with food. So the cause of the man's death is unknown. And they've closed off Hazel Creek Trail for the investigation. Oh my goodness. And they think there's like 1,500 bears in the area, which, you know, obviously there's bears there. It's North Carolina, you're in Great Smoky Mountains, but gosh dang, I'm telling you what, that's... So Travis Scott's McDonald's meal, which is apparently super popular, has led to shortages. And now they have to... It's a $6 meal. I cannot believe we're doing collaboration meals. This is... I love capitalism, but really? So now it's called... they're doing a collaboration meal. Quarter pounder with cheese, bacon, lettuce, medium fries with barbecue sauce and a Sprite. It's $6. And it's sold out. Travis Scott collab meal with McDonald's was sold out. I want to do a collab meal with Taco Bell. I'll get 3 crunchy taco supremes and get me a diet soda with 3 packets of mild sauce per taco. It's the Dana collab. How about that? Stick with us. We got a lot more in store.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Caltech. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Caltech. Visit us at caltechweapons.com.
Come on, Kim. Excuse me. I have to say something to you. He told
Kim Klasick on With The View. I needed to set that up for you. So Kim Klasick, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash, danalash.com. Kimberly Klasick, and you know her, she was running in Baltimore for Cummings' old seat. She did the amazing ad and it just went gangbusters. She went on The View and confronted Joy Reid when Joy asked her a question, because remember, Joy Reid was not only photographed wearing blackface, but she like defended it. You have got to listen to this conversation to the end of it. Oh my gosh.
Come on,
listen to this.
Kim. Excuse me, I have to say something to you. He told Bob Woodward that it was a very serious issue and it's airborne and that it was terrible. And then he went out and told the American people, don't wear masks, it's all going to go away. You have to put some blame on your president. I'm sorry. You're putting it on something extraneous here. Talk to the point, please.
Is this Joy speaking?
The same Joy?
The same Joy that paraded around in blackface not too long ago? Come on, Joy. I don't think you should be asking these questions. I am African-American.
Excuse me. The black community had my back. They know that
that
was not blackface. That was an homage. Oh, please. Just answer the question.
The black community has your back? The black community has your back?
They do.
The black community did not vote for you. The black community did not vote for you. What planet are you living on?
Sonny, can I speak?
What planet are you living on?
It was during a special election while we were still under lockdown and I could not talk to people. Can I speak or are you just going to scream over me?
This becomes a big... Listen, Kim, good luck to you. Thanks to Kim Klassen.
That was very immature, but thank you for having me.
Wow. So... I love how Joy Reid, it's an homage. Megyn Kelly didn't have that Joy Reid homage privilege.
Nope.
Joy Behar. All the Joys are the same. They're all joyless as all hell. Joy Behar. I don't even care anymore. It's the old Joy. There's young Joy and old Joy. Or older, younger kind of Joy. Wow. It's okay because Joy Behar did it. Joy Behar was in blackface. So it's okay because it was an homage. And then the image of this angry old white lady screaming at Kim Klasick, a young black woman, and telling her the black community had my back. It's something to be owned. I mean, can we just get out of that white progressive slave owner mentality, Joy? I mean... Seriously, that's how it comes off, whether it was intended or not. That's exactly what it looked like. That was cringy. And Klasick was sitting there, and I don't know Kimberly Klasick. She was sitting there just trying to be professional, and Joy was pointing and yelling and angry, and the black community had my back. And then Sonny gets in there, and she's like, yeah, you tell him, Sonny. Like, what in the world? It's like a... It was crazy to watch her do that. I guess, I don't know, did Joy Behar think that she was starring in some sort of like antebellum stage show? I don't know. It just sounded, it looked and sounded crazy. This is the general mindset of the left, though. You're just not authentically black unless you're a black leftist. That's why Joe Biden, there was no repercussions at all whatsoever for Joe Biden going out there and saying, yeah, well, you're not black if you don't vote for me. He literally says this. This is not an exaggeration. We are in the era of the video. You can get it instantly. He says this and it's okay. Megyn Kelly didn't even wear blackface, much less be photographed wearing blackface. She was simply having a discussion on NBC wherein she was remarking on how times have changed and everything has progressed to where people are realizing certain things that were culturally acceptable, you know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago even, that are not culturally acceptable today. And she gave an example of if you went out for Halloween and if you went out as a different ethnicity, a person of a different ethnicity that you were dressing up as, that you would put that makeup on and do that like Ralph Northam did. And he was photographed and then he admitted it and then denied it before kind of admitting it again. And Megyn Kelly lost her job at NBC for that. Can you imagine if Megyn Kelly had been on NBC, by the way, that's ABC that Joy Behar's on. But can you imagine if Megyn Kelly had defended this the way that Joy Behar just did? Oh my gosh. It's always acceptable and different when the left does it. This is how you know it's crap. These people don't believe in anti-racist anything. What other proof do you need? If these same damn people really believed, genuinely with their hearts believed that racism is here and it's so bad, they would not constantly be defending themselves when they're caught up in a row of it. Joy Behar wouldn't be defending herself for wearing blackface. The governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, wouldn't be defending himself for wearing blackface. Justin Trudeau wouldn't be defending himself for literally not just wearing blackface, but also blacking up his hands. This is like this constant theme. Who is it? Jimmy Kimmel, for crying out loud. It goes on and on and on. Alyssa Milano goes on and on and on. No, it's okay when they do it. But they hate it. It's a general practice. As a general practice, they hate it. But it's all right if they do it. Then you don't really think it's bad. You're accusing people of doing what you yourselves do, while at the same time pushing critical race theory, which I find insane. Speaking of that, I got to play this audio soundbite for you, because I am so glad Trump talked about this. Audio soundbite 20. He mentioned, now you remember the New York Times 1619 project. That was a critical race theory project. And the originator of the project even said it wasn't historically based. Listen.
By viewing every issue through the lens of race, they want to impose a new segregation. And we must not allow that to happen. Critical race theory, the 1619 project, and the crusade against American history is toxic propaganda, ideological poison that, if not removed, will dissolve the civic bonds that tie us together.
He's right. We've talked about that before. We've been talking about this all this week, where we're talking about it in the church, critical race theory in the church. And Monday, we're going to start talking about it in the schools. Because if it isn't in your school, then it probably already has been implemented. And I'm going to speak from the perspective of our own school district on Monday. But as it relates to this, and this is an example of this, the critical race theory, the idea that the entire, and it's a Marxist theory based off critical theory, a Marxist theory. The idea that everything in the United States of America was built to the disadvantage of Black Americans, because it's all preferable towards white Americans. Every bit of the system is absolutely racist, all the way down to its core. And as a result, there's never any hope for true equality or fairness until the system is completely destroyed, deconstructed, and rebuilt in a more fair and fairer image. And that also includes what they always say is income disparity and wealth. And now people are talking about, and that's what the Marxist group Black Lives Matter pushes, is reparations. And they've been teaching this, they've been pushing this in the church. I gave the example all this week of Hillsong and Carl Lentz, who's good friends and a zealous defender of Sean King, by the way. And even Bob Goff, which just, I've lost a, I don't put my faith in man at all, but I would really like to be able to have a certain level of expectation from my shepherds, or people who are at least posture as a shepherd. Because as of right now, I am so unbelievably critical. And I realize that we're all in that particular spot. I don't want to go in church and just gird myself to get ready to hear critical race Marxist theory, you know, but people got to start speaking out in our church. And I'm going to tell you something, pastors and faith leaders out there, if you think that the only way to reach out to people is to cop to a lie as a way to build unity, that isn't building unity. You're sinning as a shepherd. You're betraying your flock. And I don't need to remind you, least of me, I don't need to remind you what the gospels say about faith leaders who do that. So this Sunday is going to be our second day back since churches reopened for the first time in 6 months. And I know a lot of churches are starting to slowly open their doors. And there's been a lot of time people have been off. And I think now, without all of the distractions of everything else, people are really seeing this, you know, very up close and personal for what it is. But this, yesterday I gave examples of pastors who have been speaking out against this. And now we started a new lesson, for instance, in my church on unity. And I'm very interested to see where this goes. Because I always thought that the place where you would go in order to achieve unity is, that's the place of true equality, is the church. It is reinforced over and over and over and over and over again in the gospels. And by the way, the idea I completely reject this. The idea that somehow you today are responsible for what your ancestors did, or what my ancestors didn't do that. Hell, half of my ancestors were on the trail of genocide. Cain's ancestors. Was everybody here? Probably not.
Not no.
But yeah.
Side, yeah, but none of my
yeah. So you would only have to pay 50% reparation, right? A reduced rate.
I think that would be fair.
Yeah. So this idea of seeking atonement outside of God, this idea of this forced equality, and to have pastors or to have anyone in the church present this and adopt this as a way of empathizing or uniting people. You're not uniting people. It's just it fosters resentment. And to be held responsible for the sins of previous ancestors completely contradicts Ezekiel. Go read a book of Ezekiel. God can't be more clear unless he spray painted it on your forehead. So this idea that you got to be held responsible and you are the one who bears the sin of the moral failing of slavery, then, I mean, if you're a racist, that's one thing. But if you're just a regular person that also finds any racism and the false accusations of it abhorrent, well, the idea that you should be held responsible contradicts Ezekiel, or you're 250 years old, as Cain noted. It's anti-biblical, the idea that you should be held responsible for your ancestors' sin. So, now, on Monday, we're going to start discussing the educational side of it. Now, in Texas, we've been fighting it. And particularly in my town, we've been fighting it. There are so many different examples of different school districts where parents are pushing back on the implementation of critical race theory as an accepted curriculum. 1619, the project from the New York Times, was a packaged critical race theory curriculum that was being pushed in schools. So we're going to really do it. Now, we talked about churches and faith this week. We're talking about education next week, and we're going to talk to some of those people involved in it.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
DanaLash.com. Sign up for that newsletter. I got some stuff that's going to be coming out this evening. You don't want to miss it. We have Florida Man on the way. Let's go to the phones, 844-344-DANA. We got M calling in from Indianapolis. M, happy Friday to you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I appreciate you, and I listen to you every day. But something that irritates me no end, if these people would stop when the police say, stop and do this, they would be alive, whether they're black, white, pink, or purple. And I heard the chicken from Indianapolis mention that here a week or so ago, that if people would just stop, they'd... I can't understand their thinking. Is what I would rather be in jail as dead, I do believe, if I was one of them.
Well, that is actually a good point. You'd be alive in jail. There you go. I mean, and with the chance of getting out. I mean, I don't disagree with you there. I appreciate you calling in him. God bless you. That's a good point. Like the police car. I saw a representation of, you know, like the Gadsden flag, and there's all these memes like this. There's one of a snake. It says it's coiled up and it goes no step on snake. One of them had a police car and it said, don't climb on me. Just don't do that. Don't do it. I mean, what do you think is going to happen if you run out into the road? Do these people not have parents that told them this? Like, you run on the road, you're going to get hit by a car. Pretty, you know. Yeah, I remember I had an older cousin poke a dead possum on the side of their holler with a stick and say, this is why you don't run into the street. So,
that's a perfect setup for Florida Man.
It is. It's time for Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, so this is actually a funny headline. So, Florida man was scolded after he was held an anti-mask parade while listening to Twisted Sister outside of Target. I can't get totally mad at him. I can't. So this is, there was one where they just ran in and were yelling, but then there was another one where they ran into the store and they were playing We're Not Gonna Take It from Twisted Sister, and they were running around. And he didn't get into no trouble. He just was, he just done got scolded. That's what it was. I love it how that's the story. He was scolded. I'm going to tell, honestly, this doesn't even seem like this is a bad idea. A Florida man bought a ghost town, and he decided to live right out the lockdown and pandemic there with a bunch of goats. 32-year-old Brent Underwood became the sole resident of an abandoned mining town. He was waiting out a blizzard that stranded him in 5 feet of snow, and then he decided to adopt 5 baby Boer goats, right, and 7 kittens. And so this Florida man's been staying up here in this old mining town with his goats, literally all by himself in the Inyo Mountains of California, just hanging out with his goats and kittens, riding out. I have to say, it's not really that bad. That doesn't sound bad. Am I supposed to feel like that is bad? Because it actually sounds kind of like a good idea. It sounds like a good idea. And a Florida fifth grader was asked to remove his Hooters mask. Some would call that a brassiere. An Orange County father says he doesn't understand why his fifth grade son was asked to remove his Hooters-themed face mask at school. He says he's been wearing it for weeks. There's nothing offensive or derogatory about it. It's just good. The principal was like, that's not really appropriate. Really, though? That's actually kind of funny. Stick with us. We got more in store.
A president who stands out there when people are peacefully protesting in front of the White House. No violence whatsoever. He gets the military to go in, put tear gas, move people, physically move them out of the way so he can walk across to a Protestant church.
Yeah, is it the same church that they set on fire literally? Literally the day before?
They peacefully burned it, Dana.
It was peacefully burned. I just know that when I'm protesting peacefully, to demonstrate it, I set it on fire. Sets the building on fire.
No, that fire was caused by the love from our peace.
So that was. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, and hey, we have, I don't have to say it anymore, we got a button. Hit the button, King.
Oh, you want a new one, or you want an old
one? I want the one that does not sound like we're going to sell tampons after it.
Okay, so we'll do, I don't know.
Dude, that one. That way.
Find Dana at DLash on Twitter and Instagram, Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube, official Dana Lash on Facebook, and simulcast via the first, channel 244 on Pluto TV.
I don't hate that.
So that's another one.
Go and find all those things, and we'll keep making new ones. We have three. We have three different ones. That's an assortment. Yay! Yay! It is Friday. We've been taking calls. 844-344-DANA. So, and coming up at the bottom of the hour, do you remember the email that I shared with you yesterday that I got from a member of the symphony, or the Dallas Symphony Orchestra? Because now the orchestra is fighting because of critical race theory and all of this stuff. They sent out like one of their big one of their groups sent out a statement wherein they were apologizing and basically saying everybody's racist. And so the principal cellist, who is basically like the valedictorian of cello players, as I understand it, correct? Yes. They're like, it's like first chair, right?
I think so.
Yeah. It's like first chair when you're in band. It's like the best one, is taking issue with this and actually released a statement. And we were saying yesterday, because that Christopher Adkins, who's the principal cellist with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, sent us this email. And I thought, well, I don't want to put anyone in a difficult position. And sending a letter is one thing, going on a nationally syndicated radio show, something entirely different. But he's going to be joining us after headlines today. So we're going to talk with him about this, because it's amazing to me that we are now so they issued a statement on racial discrimination. And this was from the League of American Orchestras. And they said, I'm not kidding you, they have it in their statement that did they stop black people from listening to classical music?
I didn't hear about it.
I didn't hear about this either. Because they said that. They said that they are just addressing discrimination in orchestras, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. underrepresentation. They said that they've played an active role in excluding black musicians, composers, and even listening to orchestral music. Okay, now here's the thing. If you're an orchestra and you're stopping black people from hearing you, you are a racist and you should apologize. But where you're, they're just saying things. They're just stating things here. It's just so bizarre. Have they actually been, because, okay, let me ask this. If you are admitting discrimination in hiring practices, are you not just inviting everybody to see you? Exactly. I didn't, and I don't know. I think that there are also certain things culturally that people think signifies underrepresentation, but they don't understand that it's maybe it is by choice and not because of exclusion. You know what I mean? Like choice and not exclusion. I don't know. I just, you know, I'm just, it seems like that. Like really horrible bad pop folk music is by like skinny white people. All of it. Have you noticed this? They're all the singer-songwriter category. Are they exclusionary towards black Americans, or are black Americans like, that sucks and we just don't want to do it? Right? Because I'm thinking, I could give examples, but, you know, it's always the people who wear like scarves indoors.
Yeah.
Those are the people who they play this. It's like the singer-songwriter. It's like Mila Jovovich's character in Dazed and Confused when she's playing the guitar. It's like that. I'm just saying. So we're going to talk to the principal cellist for the Dallas Symphony Orchestra here coming up, because that I mean, we joke about it, but also at the same time, there's real damage in trying to gaslight individuals about division in the name of unity. It's like you're trying to create a specific issue where a specific issue doesn't exist. And they said that they understand, and this is all critical race theory. They write, we understand racism is structural and can be practiced by people of all races. And it's not the primary responsibility of people of color to explain where white dominant institutions have fallen short. So is their argument that the orchestra is racist because there are more white people than black people in the orchestra? And if so, how do you substantiate the accusation that it is because of active exclusionary tactics that are fueled by racism? That's a pretty big indictment. And if you're not prepared to actually provide evidence of this and substantiate it, then it sounds ridiculous. Anyway, we're going to talk about that coming up. 844-344-DANA is the number to join the program. And I have a couple other things here for you that I wanted to make sure that we touch on a little bit here. I'm pulling all of my stuff up right now. I think on Monday in Texas, restaurants, and that is at 75% capacity now that they can open, except for bars and things of that nature. And my youngest kid's school went to online learning, and they were telling us that, well, now we have these 7 cases, and so it's going to go to online learning. And I just so many things sound unscientific, because when you have these cases, well, why is it withheld? Why is context withheld? Like the context of severity. What is the severity of this? And how long was someone around someone else? Was it in a position where people were in practice, or was it rehearsals for theater, or was it they were sitting next to each other in the classroom? I mean, what is the actual context of this? And I think that people have genuinely, and I was talking to some friends of mine, I completely understand the hesitation to just believe things as you're told, particularly after what happened with Nashville. And we're going to talk more about this with guests on Monday. But in Nashville, they were caught, as we discussed yesterday, with emails. And they admitted that these emails they were verified as being real between members of the city council and the mayor's office. They were lying about the number of cases that originated from bar reopenings that were drastically lower than, for instance, like nursing homes and other places. And they were lying about those numbers so as to continue the lockdown and maintain the closure of these bars and some of these restaurants. And so people are genuine. I mean, you're lying to people so that you can keep seizing their ability to gain income. That's criminal. Absolutely criminal. 844-344-DANA. Let's go to the phones. We got Colby on line one calling in from Oklahoma. Colby, happy Friday to you. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dana. Good to hear from you. I've been listening to you a lot, and I really enjoy listening to you. My question, I really enjoy everything Trump has done policy-wise, but the one thing I've always noticed is his stance on the Second Amendment seems, I don't know, he did the whole bump stock ban, and I've even seen a video of him talking about taking a man's guns away before the police go get him just to make it safer for the police. So it seems like he kind of supports the red flag laws. That's just my one concern regarding his stance on the Second Amendment.
Right. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. The thing where he was, and I've actually spoken with him about red flag laws before, and I think that was like in the very beginning after, I was trying to remember what event, I appreciate the call in, Colby, to answer your question. I was trying to remember what event it was after, and there was a lot of discussion. And he was supposed to be meeting, they were supposed to be meeting with like Democrat leadership and Republican leadership because Democrats were pushing, after there was a mass casualty incident, Democrats were pushing some kind of like gun grab thing. And I watched it. And when he was discussing the red flag thing, and this was after I think some actual Republicans were pushing red flag laws. I think in the beginning, he was not quite familiar with the red flag process, or rather what process the red flag procedure eliminates, meaning due process. And I know that there's been a lot of discussion about that with him and his advisor since then. And I know for a fact that he understands it now because I've talked to him about it. I was in D.C. at an event and I spoke with him about it. But as it relates to the bump stock issue, and that was after Las Vegas, I'm kind of like two steps above, you know, anarchy on certain things. I just like the government to stay out of things. And I also think that I'm against the NFA and all of that stuff. And what they have is the law now. What was that? It was like in 68. And then of course the addition of the background check system and everything else in the 90s with the Brady implementation. But the bump stock thing, that always kind of concerned me because in terms of how the ATF acted, because to me that seemed like it was more of an issue of trigger engagement, not to get into the weeds of it. And I also think that there is an issue too of trying to figure out how best to thwart off Democrats and weak Republicans that would combine together to get something passed. So I, keeping all of this in mind, and the reason I brought up like NFA and Gun Control Act and all of this stuff is because the situation in D.C. when all of this was happening was that just because someone's a Republican doesn't mean that they hunt, doesn't mean that they own a gun, doesn't mean that they know anything about guns. I mean, I've seen people in organizations that actually aren't even gun owners and don't know anything about guns and vote Democrat. So I'm just saying. But with this issue, there were a lot of Democrats, almost all of them, and a number of weak Republicans that were trying to put together a pretty comprehensive anti-gun bill. I'm not going to call it a quote-unquote assault weapons ban because it was a ban on semi-automatic firearms. And they were trying to push that together. They were trying to push this and as a way to address the quote-unquote bump stock issue. And as a way to get around them, some other Republicans had the idea of let's just have the ATF redefine this because it's going to be easier to deal with it as a regulation from the ATF than it is as a passed and signed law within Congress, especially right now, but that a lot of other stuff is going to get through as well. And again, while I don't agree with any of that stuff, you have to look at the best strategy that you can play with the hand that you're dealt. And in many of these instances, there are people out there who we all want the most freedom, and we all want the best outcome, and we want the easiest possible solution, but not every procedure. I mean, again, it's a game of chess, and like it or not, people went around it and did it as a regulation because it's easier to deal with the regulation than it is to repeal a law after it already passes like that, that had a lot of other things aside from bump stock with it. Now, I've shot with bump stocks before. I always think it's an ammo waste. It's like fun for a second, I guess. I mean, not really. I mean, yeah, it's like there was a meme that said, what do you want to do when you go to the range? Work on skills or mag dump? And it was Elmo, and he was like putting his face in a bunch of white powder, and it's funny. But at the same time, that's not the standard of measure that we use to determine whether or not somebody can do something. But just to kind of explain that, because it gets into the weeds a little bit, it was all about strategy and what they had the authority to do and what they didn't have the authority to do, like it or not.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Oh boy, this is from The Sun. A Black Lives Matter activist lost a testicle after he was hit in the area during one protest. I'm trying to be very, and there's a lot of photos of near area, not of the, but like around the leg area. I kid you not, it says the guy claims the protest itself was mostly peaceful. Yeah, he actually had to go and get like I had to share that because I have been distracted by that this entire time. A scrapped plan to ship masks to Americans, a standoff with Amazon amid pressure. New documents are detailing USPS's crisis. I was looking at this piece from the Washington Post earlier. It said 10,000 pages of emails and memos show like the fight. This like standoff where Amazon executives were upset with the Postal Service, and the Postal Service, USPS, was upset with Amazon, and the administration had to get involved, and then as a result there were things that were, see, this is where I do get a little bit, I have some questions as to how Amazon does some of its business dealings. Banksy loses a battle with a greetings card firm over the flower bomb trademark. He had sued Full Color Black, challenged the artist's rights to trademark of his image. And they were saying that it was basically common now because it was kind of graffiti. Stick with us.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
DanaLash.com.
By viewing every issue through the lens of race, they want to impose a new segregation, and we must not allow that to happen. Critical race theory, the 1619 Project, and the crusade against American history is toxic propaganda, ideological poison that, if not removed, will dissolve the civic bonds that tie us together.
What gets me about this, and welcome back to the show, is that it doesn't matter if you are a Republican or a conservative or a libertarian or an independent, a Democrat, whatever, or if you support the administration or not. I've been talking about critical race theory now for 10 years. And this was back, going all the way back to even before 2012, and discussing Derrick Bell, who was the academic, he was the professor who introduced this concept. It's an offshoot of Marxism. It stems from critical theory. And the idea is that the structure in which we live in, this system, the United States, is inherently so broken and bigoted and racist that there is no saving it. The only response, the only solution, is a total deconstruction. And there is no place that is excluded, which is why you see this cultural Marxist battle. It wraps itself up in this veneer of injustice and a lack of equality, which, again, sidebar, I think it's amazing that we're seeing an ideology that was promoted by a notorious racist old man, Karl Marx, who now this ideology is being used for to fight in our cultural institutions. There is no space that is safe from it, whether it's the academic world, whether it's, you know, business, sports, and obviously arts and entertainment. But now even classical music. We had the story just the other day of how Beethoven's Fifth is now considered classist, racist, bigoted, and a bunch of other ists as well. And this was about the time that I received this email. And it is from Christopher Adkins, and he's with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. He is the principal cellist. And I read this email yesterday, and I also read part of the statement, but I want to recap. He was responding to, and he sent this email, a response to the CEO of the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. And the story is the League of American Orchestras released this statement, and it was in unabashed support of critical race theory. And in the statement that they released, which I've tweeted out and we're going to post a piece about this up at the website, they even say that apparently the world of the orchestra is so unbelievably racist that Black Americans or Black humans, period, are prevented from even so much as listening to the symphony. And I mean, that's pretty over the top, very much over the top. What really struck me is that this is the first time I've ever seen anyone in the classical art world and entertainment and music in the symphony speak out like this. And I was just really kind of blown away. Christopher Adkins joins us by Skype. And it's so good. It's so good to see you. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for speaking out, because I know that this does come with risk, especially, you know, as well respected as you are and your wife and your professions, that it does. There is risk associated with speaking so plainly about the truth. So thank you for doing so.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's an honor to be here. And Dana, I really did enjoy your piece on the canceling of Beethoven the other just
oh
a few
my
days
goodness
ago.
Yes. I just never would have thought that this is where we would ever be, that Beethoven is considered exclusionary and discriminatory. And you know, the statement that you sent me from about how it's even apparently exclusionary and racist from the League of American Orchestras to even so much as they've prevented people from listening to the symphony, I'm not surprised that it would be in support of this, but to this extent, tell me about your experience with this, and you decided to write a letter to the CEO of the symphony.
Well, the extent, I mean, as you say, we're prevented, according to the League of American Orchestras, we're preventing, actively excluding Black people from, let me read you this laundry mm-hmm. list that they give us. We're preventing them from auditioning, from creating, performing, managing, governing, and even listening to orchestral music. And that's just a progression that goes from the surreal to the totally insane.
Yeah, I have never heard. I'm sure that if that had actually happened, there would have been a news story, and I have not found any news stories of anyone being prevented from listening to anything. You have not partaken in such exclusionary activity.
Well, if I had, I would actually be criminally liable under U.S. law. So,
right.
So, no, not one of these things. I have been in the orchestral business for over 45 years. I've been a member of professional orchestras at least a dozen, maybe closer to 20. I lose count. I have never seen one of these charges, a single incident of any of them, ever occur a single time.
And the letter that you wrote, I thought was very poignant. And there was at one point you take issue with the indictment of you yourself being included. You write, and this is, he's writing this to the CEO of the symphony. I'm pulling this quote up. He says, if the phrase "all of us" doesn't include Kim Noldemy and Christopher Adkins, then it doesn't actually possess any discernible meaning at all. So the assertion is, quote, systemic racism and discrimination are rooted in a belief system, white supremacy, into which, you know, obviously you and Mr. Noldemy were born. Well, no, Christopher Adkins was most assuredly not born into the belief system of white supremacy. And I would be relatively comfortable in the surmise that young Kim was also led in a different direction, end quote, because that's what it is. You're being told that you have to accept a falsehood that that you are somehow you possess a moral failing to this egregious nature. And that's, I mean, you're being told to confess to something awful that you have not done.
That's one of the really unfair things about it. But of course, it extends beyond the personal that, you know, that I have listened to more auditions, for instance, than anyone else in the symphony. I've been on more audition committees. At this point, I've probably heard 10,000 separate individual auditions over the course of my career with the symphony. And for them to say that somehow these people are being excluded, that black people are being systematically excluded from our auditions happen completely blindly. We never see a picture. We never see the auditioner in person. These things can't even possibly happen. So it's really just completely absurd, but it it really impugns the integrity of me and of every other member of the audition committees for as far back as you care to go.
Right, and as well as the audience as well for supporting by viewing and giving patronage to and going to every performance. What was this in response to? I mean, were they accused of something before, or do you think that the league just decided, well, we're going to go ahead and get ahead of something, and so let's go ahead and release a statement now to Virtue Signal?
Well, I think it absolutely is a virtue signal, and I think a morally corrosive one. It's really so over the top that it's just like they're standing up shouting, you know, look at me, I'm so virtuous to get, as you say, get out in front of this. And aside from the personal guilt that it assigns to me, it's really corrosive in other ways because it delegitimizes the basic mission of American Symphony Orchestras, which, to state the obvious, is basically to play classical orchestral music.
Yeah.
We have immense talent on stage, but if you want the best in African drumming, the DSO is not the place you would think to look. And so our mission is very particular and very narrow, and we've accomplished that well, but that is now declared to be an illegitimate purpose, and the institution must be reoriented to the goal of curing society's ills rather than playing the best music that we know at the highest levels of excellence.
You bring up something very interesting, because that's what so much of the critical race theory is saying needs to happen, is that things need to be restructured because they are unfair as they are. Do you anticipate, is this the first sort of attempt here to perhaps do that with the symphony, with as you said, with orchestral music? Is this an attempt to restructure even what that is in culture?
Oh, I think it definitely is. And it's happening in Dallas. For instance, at the end, there's a famous series of concerts in London every summer called the Proms at Royal Albert Hall. If you remember your Beatles, you know how many holes it takes to fill Albert Hall. Well, that's an actual concert hall in London. And there's a famous concert series there. And they have traditionally finished with singing of Rule Britannia. And so this year, they at least played the music, but they didn't allow the singing of the words, which contains a line about Britons shall never be slaves. Mm. And so, of course, the argument is that by saying that Britons shall never be slaves, that means it's okay to enslave everybody else. This is the kind of insanity that passes for profound thinking on today's left.
Wow. Oh, and to that, and related to that, one of the, and you mentioned this as well, and this is really ultimately what kickstarted all of this, in the email, and we're talking with Christopher Adkins, who's the principal cellist with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. He, when Christopher wrote for the listeners out there and those watching on Pluto, when he emailed, he said that the symphony had traditionally opened each classical concert subscription season with the national anthem. And this year, after rehearsing the anthem at the September 10th morning dress rehearsal, it was cut from the program by the time the evening concert rolled around. And he added another entertainment industry bowing to pressure from the woke left. Did they ever give you a reason as to why they chose to not play the anthem, or what was the conversation about that?
I actually tried to follow up, and initially I was rebuffed and told that they couldn't say. But Kim, she's a wonderful woman, our CEO, just sent me an email this morning saying that they were told that many members of the orchestra were intending to kneel or sit during the anthem, and they didn't want to become a political centerpiece in the discussion. Well, I'm sorry. By aligning yourself with the woke left, you have made yourself a political centerpiece in the discussion. And there it is.
I mean, taking a knee, I would imagine that by having this statement from the league, and then of course the Dallas Symphony Orchestra supporting this, and then with now not even playing the anthem, is the biggest knee of them all.
It's complete surrender.
Oh my! How does this make you feel in something a discipline to which you have given your entire life? And you know, obviously, brings so much joy to so many people. And I'm always in awe of the abilities of people like yourself and those who can play instruments and can put pieces together the way you do. I mean, it really is magical. How? Because now we're talking about undermining a great institution, an artistic institution, and it's ironic because it is these artistic institutions that have always been the most open and the most inclusionary, and the ones that have ushered forth, you know, enlightenment and everything else. And now it's like they are, for the lack of a better way to put it, the petty Puritans who are trying to shut down any diverse thought or even so much as any question of anything. And they're doing it with something that you love so much and have given so much of your life to.
In answer to your question, in a word, heartbroken. I'm heartbroken that I have devoted my life to the Dallas Symphony. I'm a Texas boy for generations back. I was born in Brownwood, Texas. You know, my family's from Ballinger, Texas, which is the little town outside the big town of Brownwood. And the Dallas Symphony has been my hometown orchestra for as long as I can remember. And when I actually came back from my stint in Milwaukee and Denver symphonies to take the principal chair in Dallas, it was a dream come true. And to see what is in the early stages of happening with the politicization of classical music, it really is heartbreaking.
Wow. Last quick question for you. We're getting short on time and about to wrap up our show. What happens next?
Well, I have no illusions that we can hold up our hands and stop the tide completely, but I hope more and more people will be willing to speak up for the obvious truth that your fellow citizens are not cauldrons of seething hatred. Your fellow citizens are good-hearted people. We all want what's best for everyone, and the things that are being peddled are lies. And they're destructive lies. There's bodies piling up in Chicago and everywhere else from these lies.
Oh, it's just awful. Oh, goodness. Well, we're going to please stay in touch with us and let us know how things unfold. And I hate hearing this, but that this is happening, even like we were discussing to now it's really affecting every single aspect of art. There's not any aspect of American life that is unaffected by this. Christopher Atkins, thank you so much for being so brave in speaking out about this, and not just in sending a letter to, you know, the CEO, but also coming about it on air with us and talking about it with us, because there are so many people who are unaware, but I know would entirely support you in your effort in this. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Have a great weekend. God bless.
Catch the latest Dana podcasts, videos, and blog posts at the all-new DanaRadio.com.
I was telling Kane that this critical race theory thing, when I worked with Andrew Breitbart before he passed, I remember when he found out about this and the academic Derek Bell, and he was the first person to call it out. He had a couple of people at the website research it, including our friend Ben Shapiro. And I remember the night I was on CNN arguing with Ben Smith of BuzzFeed, because they tried after the Derek Bell video came out. And I think Ben's first TV hit was on Fox that same night, talking about the video. And that's just, I just wanted to say, Andrew had called this out all these years ago. Just wanted to say that. All right, so today in stupidity, Kane.
Oh, well, Joe Biden was talking yesterday, so I got a little bit of it. Thought I'd share.
I hope you join me and put the future within our reach, where states that, you know, look, whatever state of life you're in,
yeah,
you can make a difference.
Yeah, man. Come on,
I'm very
man.
Confused by that.
Come on, man.
Very confused by that. There you go. Folks, danalash.com. New content up. Subscribe to the newsletter. I'm the only person who sees your stuff. And I have some good things going up for you there, including this letter with the symphony as well. God bless. Have a great weekend. Back with you Monday.